today on Real Radio.
He told Moses, I picked them because they're a pain in my neck. God says, I chose them, not because they're better than anybody else. He said, I chose them because they're so stiff-necked. Did you know that? That's what God said about them. Why did he do that? Well, a Jewish friend told me this. If God can save a Jew, he can save you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God to the Rescue, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today as we continue through the Book of Isaiah. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament, because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 9, we learned how God loves us unconditionally and that his desire is to lead us towards perfection and completion. But even though God is love, he's still both mighty and powerful. And when he returns, he will right all wrongs, and all things will be made perfect as he is perfect. Now in Isaiah chapter 10, we'll see that even when things look hopeless, God is always on time in coming to the rescue. So today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the Old Testament prophets, including Isaiah, predicted that in the last days, God will restore the prosperity of Judah, and the nations who harmed and scattered the people of Israel will be judged. God will return his people back to their own land that was promised to them thousands of years ago. And now continuing his lesson called God to the Rescue, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So now listen, it's making you think, isn't it? The Second Amendment, for example, says that you have the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment doesn't say you have the right to bear arms to rob banks. No, if you listen to CNN, it's the Second Amendment gives you the right to go around shooting people driving down the street in your car. No. The Second Amendment gives you the right to defend yourself against lunatics like that. You say, well, I don't, take away all the guns. Go ahead. First of all, you can't. It's impossible. You can take them away. Here's what happens. Good people give up their guns. Bad people won't. So bad people just kill good people carte blanche because good people can't defend themselves against bad guys who don't obey the law in the first place. So when you pass a law, only good people obey the law. Bad people never obey the law. We need to take away. Go ahead. Bad people don't obey laws. So what are you actually doing to yourself? You see what I'm saying? So take away, by the way, if you take away guns, by the way, truly, a gun never killed anybody. It's the wicked heart that's behind the trigger. You say, well, take away the trigger and they won't have an ability to kill somebody. Cain killed Abel with a rock. Take away all rocks, all bats and knives should be outlawed around the world. You know where I'm going with this? You can out, listen, now you need to cut off everybody's hands because you could strangle somebody. Do you see? God says, woe unto those who make unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they have prescribed for themselves. They're in power. They're in their ivory little booth. They make decisions that frustrate and make people's lives burdensome. They live outside of reality. And God says, I hate that. Isn't that something? It's a powerful thing. And he goes on to say this, verse 2, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people. Note this, everybody. Listen, God is saying here in the Bible that he is against those who rob the needy of justice. And you say, Jack, come on, who would ever be in favor of robbing the needy of justice? Would you, listen, let's get personal. Would you rob the needy of justice? Those that are in need of justice, would you rob it from them? Of course not. Who would do such a thing, you might ask me? That's ridiculous. I agree with you. It's completely ridiculous. But listen, the person that would rob the needy of justice is the exact same person who would take what is right from the poor. You say, come on, who would do that? Who would rob a poor person? Isn't that weird? You see some guy pushing his cart down the road, and you know, he's got some plastic tarp and a water bottle, and he's got maybe his dog with him, and he's got some Snickers bar, you know what I'm saying? And you pull over in your Mercedes and pull out your rock, and you tell him, I'm going to knock you out if you don't give me your Twinkies and your Happy Meal. You say, that'll never happen. I understand that, but God says it does happen. What kind of a person would do that? Well, God qualifies it right here. Are you ready for this? He says, God says here in this verse that the needy and the poor, look carefully, of who? Of who? Say it again. Of my what? Who is this people? Israel, chapter 10. This guy said it over here. It's Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, young people today, I'm reading from a 3,000-year-old prophecy. God says, I view my people. Look, he's not asking for my opinion or yours. God says, I view my people. You say, maybe you're here from the anti-Jewish league. I don't believe in a Jew. This is America. You don't have to believe in a Jew. I think the government of Israel is a farce. It's a free country. You can believe that all you want. Just the God of heaven doesn't agree with you. It's all right. He says, when you do that, it's bad enough. But he said, don't do it to my people. Don't rob them. In fact, God said, bless them. Yeah. See, but the Jews drive me nuts. They are amazing people to talk to. I will give you that. They will test your patience. There's no doubt about it. I've talked with so many Jews over the course of my life. It's amazing. I'll talk with one or two Jews and we'll be in an argument about something. When I say argument, it's not like what you think. We'll be discussing and debating. Yeah, debating. And it's amazing because you can be talking to one Jewish person about God or about anything for that matter, and they'll have three or four, maybe five opinions. It'd be one Jew with five different opinions about his argument. They are amazing. Go figure that one out. But God didn't say, you know what? I loved an easy people. I chose my chosen people because they're so simple. He told Moses, I picked them because they're a pain in my neck. God says, I chose them. Not because they're better than anybody else. He said, I chose them because they're so stiff-necked. Did you know that? That's what God said about them. Why did he do that? Well, a Jewish friend told me this. If God can save a Jew, he can save you. Isn't that a great word? God says they're my people. They are my people. He says that. Joel chapter 3, verse 1 says, at the time of those events, in the last days he's talking about, says the Lord, when, Bible student, mark that, that's a time stamp. If you're a prophetic student, if you're an eschatological minded person, at the time of those events, oh, yeah, what? Says the Lord, when. Circle the word when. That's a key. What's the first qualifier? When I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem. Mark it down. God says that in the last days, a clock is going to go. Something's going to start ticking. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to focus upon Israel. He says, number one, when I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem. There's another thing here. Second qualifier, I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Church, that's never happened before. Third qualifier, there will be judgment upon them for harming my people. So listen, God says, in the last days, this is what's going to happen. Wake up, everybody. Israel's going to be back in their own land, and they've been harmed, and I'm coming back, says God. And he says, they are my special possession. And this is why he's coming back to judge. Because they scattered my people among the nations. Did that ever happen? And for dividing up my land, yikes. They threw dice to decide which of my people would be their slaves. They traded boys to obtain prostitutes and sold girls for enough wine to get drunk. Taking God's people, the Jew, into captivity and dispersing them to the ends of the earth. Here in the Bible, listen, young people, you can trust your Bible. This is exactly what was prophesied, and it's exactly what happened in the Holocaust of Israel. They were driven to every country of the world for 2,000 years. Amazing. Mark this verse down. Jeremiah 30, verse 3. Here's another time stamp. Israel, actually, is God's time stamp on earth. Do you guys know what I mean by a time stamp? Those of you who are in engineering, for example, if you're running a graph or you're measuring things, you've got a time stamp or an event marker. Some of you, depends on what field you're in, it'll be a tick mark where it's something, or like, you know, it's a good picture. Here's a good picture. A seismograph for earthquake. It's just flat line, not here. In California, it's just always vibrating, but you watch that thing at Caltech, you can watch it live online. It's just kind of moving. And then whoop, 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 it moved. It just had an earthquake. And that spike, every little tick along the way, every little bit of movement is connected to time and location. You know that? This is so amazing. Canada is not God's time stamp on earth. And that's, listen, I hate to break the news to you, but it's not Southern California either. It is not the time stamp of God on earth. Don't tell people in Hollywood, but it's not Hollywood either. It's not even Maui. It's one little place smaller than the state of New Jersey, says God. It's Israel. That's his timestamp. You say, what does it mean? What do you mean timestamp? That when something happens there, God talks about in the Bible. And so it's a timestamp. So watch this. This is what he says. Jeremiah 30, verse 3, for behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people who? Israel. Can you say it again? In the count of three? One, two, three?
Israel.
Timestamp. And Judah, that's northern and southern parts of Israel, the nation, says the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that the United Nations gave them. That I, God says, I gave to their fathers and they shall possess it. Amen. Wow. That's amazing. Ezekiel 37, watch how close to home this gets. Ezekiel 37, verse 21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, says God. Amen. Wow. He said, I don't believe the Bible. Well, how do you consume that right there? He said, I don't believe it. You've got to believe it. I feel ornery with this truth. Because listen, I love you, but I want you to hear this. You got to hear this. You consider tonight, say, I don't believe it. But wait a minute, you are educated. What do you mean by that? What I'm reading to you has been written down for thousands of years. You could have read this for thousands of years. It's always been there. Is there a nation called Israel?
Yes.
Was there not a nation of Israel for 2,000 years?
Yes.
Was there an Israel existing for thousands of years before they were not a nation 2,000 years ago?
Yes.
God says the land that he gave them, it's their land. Some of you who go to college right now, because you see the apartheid wall that visits your college campus, that Israel's the occupier. You ever heard of that? Israel, it's not their land, it's Palestine. That's actually impossible. And that's, you know, what? Well, you know what? Just find me a Palestinian, ancient Palestinian coin or an ancient Palestinian king. Can you find a name? Can you get some pottery? Can you get a flag? Can you get a temple? Can you get artifacts archaeologically? The best you can do is go to Rome, because it was invented by Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD. 135 AD. He's the one that named Israel Palestine after the ancient name of the Philistines, which a Palestinian, you don't know it or not, they don't realize it, but you're actually declaring that you're a Philistine. That's not, those are not my words. And so you're going to have to choose between a modern-day Wikipedia worldview or a biblical worldview. I would suggest you go with a faultless worldview. Listen, here's a great way for, in fact, for those of you who are in college, anybody in college right now, raise your hands. God bless you. May the God of wisdom be upon you and discernment be upon you. And I mean that. Check this out. Follow along with me now. The Bible says that before Joshua crossed over the Jordan River into Canaan, there were tribes, there were city-states, they were called, but they were tribal groups. They're Canaanites, Gibeonites, all of these various tribes, bazillions of them, right? Amalekites, you've read all those fantastic names in your Bible. Okay? They were living in the land. Listen carefully. This is not a trick statement. This is how God rolls. Before Israel crossed over the Jordan with Joshua, were there people in the land before Israel showed up? Absolutely yes. You see, Pastor, you're wrong. I'm not done. God says, you see that land? That's my land. Go in there and take it. That's what God says in the Bible. You say, I have a hard time with that. Well, just follow along with me. That's why it's called, by the way, the promised land. God promised the land to his people. But there were other people there before his people showed up. See, you and I think first come, first serve. But if you think that thought, keep thinking it all the way through to the origin of the world. Who made it? God made it. See, it comes down to this. You're going to either believe the UN or God. The flesh always happens first. And the flesh has got to be circumcised, doesn't it? Or, in this case, as the New Testament era, you were born into this world a sinner. I was too. And you, to go to heaven, you need to do, you need to be what? Born a second time. Why? Because the flesh always comes first. Listen, you know this in your life. Before you turn from your sin of thievery, you first of all realized that you're a thief. My mom and dad had to teach me not to steal our neighbor's strawberries. Why? Because I was born a strawberry thief. Just like you and I were born liars. Every one of us was born a liar. You may have forgotten, but you used to hide stuff in your diaper. Remember? I mean, really? So, I didn't eat any cookies, Mommy. You have to learn how to tell the truth. Why? Because the flesh comes first. The land of Israel is a living, breathing parable. But if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, then Israel is showing up right now too late. But if you believe the God of the Bible, it was their promised land from the beginning. Do you see? If you told that logic to the UN, which is pure truth, they still wouldn't get it. Because listen, the natural things of a man, the Bible says, can the spiritual things a natural man cannot discern because they're spiritually discerned. A spiritual man understands spiritual things. A man of the earth only understands earthly things. And I'm sure that you'll want to miss next week's message because, oh boy. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to get through this book of Isaiah, Lord. I don't know if I'm doing a good job or not on this. I don't know, 66 chapters is going to take us 120 years, Lord. But your word is so spot on our lives. I mean, verse one, I mean, it's the world we're living in. Verse two, it's happening now, even in our own communities. The poor are being ripped off. And the needy are being abused. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you back tonight. God, we love you, Lord. It's so obvious we don't belong here anymore. We want to see you, Lord. Until you come, Father, we do pray that for each of us tonight, no matter where our hearts may be, that if they're not hot with you, that you would speak directly now to us. Maybe some things have been said tonight that have cut someone's traditions to the quick. Maybe someone's bias or prejudice or position has been challenged. That's a good thing for us to be challenged. God, visit us with your truth. Shine your light in and upon us, that there'd be nothing left within us but Bible. Lord, may we go from this place tonight being radicalized lovers of God. If that's true, the needy will have representation. The poor will be taken care of. And we'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we close in this song of worship.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God to the Rescue, Part 1. We're glad you took the time to spend some time with us today. And as it was in the days of Isaiah, only the Lord is our rescuer and Savior. God to the Rescue, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you haven't had a chance to watch Pastor Jack's Happening Now events, you really are missing out. This series brings God's prophetic word into perspective for us in the light of events that are currently happening in our world today. Pastor Jack is often joined by special guest speakers, including Amir Safati and Don Stewart. Amir lives in Israel but speaks all over the world on biblical prophecy as it relates to Israel. Don Stewart is an expert on end times prophecy and has written many books about the subject. Again, it's called Happening Now, and a lot of our previous sessions are available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or search Real Life with Jack Hibbs on YouTube and find them right there. Also, be sure to follow Pastor Jack on Facebook so that you can participate in the next live Happening Now event. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.